Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Paul writes to the church at Rome, the Baptist church at Rome. So as much as in me is, how much is that? That's all you got with everything I got. How many of you, when you do something, you give it all you got? How many of you have know people, because I know this couldn't talk about you, but how many of you know people that when they do something, they do just as much as is required and that's it? They don't give it all they got. And Paul says, as much as everything that's in me, I am ready to preach to you. Amen. I'm ready to preach the gospel. What is gospel? The good news. To you who are at Rome also, he says, I want to preach. And I want to preach to you. There's nothing better as a preacher, as a pastor, than to be able to preach to your church. I mean, it's nice to go preach other places and be invited, and it's an honor. But there's no place like home. And to be able to preach to your people. Now, Paul, he's a circuit preacher, if you will. He's a missionary. He's traveled around establishing churches. But he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach there too. I want to preach. And verse number 16, he said, I'm not ashamed. I tell you, the closer we get to the rapture, the closer we get to the Antichrist and the tribulation, the closer we get, the more pressure is going to come against the church and the narrow-minded singleness of Christianity. Guys, I'm not ashamed that Jesus is the way to heaven. I'm not ashamed that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm not ashamed that God made a way. I'm not ashamed that God provided the Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God. I'm not ashamed of that. Well, you're narrow-minded and you're backward and you don't believe in this and you don't believe in that and you don't believe everybody's going to heaven. You know why I don't believe everybody's going to heaven? Because God said there is a requirement of faith. There is a requirement of salvation. Guys, don't misunderstand me. I love people. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everybody to go to heaven. I'm not ashamed that God provided a way. And he said, if you come this way, I'll open my arms to you. But if you don't want it, I'm not going to drag you in. Why would I be ashamed of what God's done? I'm not ashamed of this book, any of the book. There are some things in this Bible that nobody's proud of. David, Judah, Solomon. On down the line of, we talked about this morning, Judas. Peter, there are things in here that if I were going to write a book and want people to believe in it, I probably would have left some of that ugly stuff out. That's why God didn't put me in charge. But I'm not ashamed of any of it. I'm sorry that people fail. And by the way, none of them are better than I am. I'm human. I have the same capacity to fail that they did. We have a great Savior and a great God, but there's only one way to heaven, and I'm not ashamed of that. Because it's an open door to anybody who wants it. I'm not ashamed of that. Well, how do you know yours is the way? Hey, because I put it to practice. It works for me. It's worked in my life. I've seen the way it works in other people's lives. I've seen what God can do. And not only that, but just take the prophecy and history, go ahead and mix in a little archaeology while we're at it, and let's see who's telling the truth. God is. Amen. And if evolution challenges your faith, I'm sorry. But I don't have any problem with the idea that an ancient God that's been around forever created a mature earth. Any problem with that? You say, well, this rock is 48 million years old. No, it was grown when God made it. God didn't plant seeds. God created trees. Why is that hard for people to understand? When God made Adam, He didn't make Adam an embryo. He made Adam a grown man. And everything that God made, He made that way. So when they say, well, this is 28 million, I don't have any trouble with them misunderstanding what God did. I believe all of it. And by the way, I believe that when Moses walked out there and held the rod up, the sea blew back. And when they stepped in the Jordan River, the brink of it, the water backed up on that too. I believe all of it. I believe Jonah became a fish dinner. I believe all of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I might go down kicking and screaming, but I'm not gonna fall down and be embarrassed or ashamed of what God has done. I believe in God. And if you don't, I'm sorry for you, but it's not going to affect my faith. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 16. I want people to get saved. We got to preach the gospel so people can get saved. Now, I'll tell you what I'd be ashamed of the way and not show the way. Is if I know how to get to heaven and I don't tell you how to get to heaven. Boy, how embarrassing would that be to stand before God and God says, well, how come you never told your wife about Jesus? How did you get here but your whole family didn't get here? Well, you know, Lord, I was a Christian when I got saved when I was a little boy. By the time I grew up, I stopped believing. I stopped practicing, and that's the reason I didn't tell my wife, and that's the reason I didn't tell my kids. Your kids? You don't want your kids to go to heaven? I want my kids to be able to choose. Yeah, I want my kids to choose. I don't want my kids to go to hell. I don't want your kids to go to hell. I want all of them to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I can't make you go. But I can tell you how to get there. I can tell you how to get there. It is the power of God unto salvation. Well, you know what? Getting people in church doesn't get them saved. Baptizing people doesn't get them saved. Teaching them in Sunday school class doesn't get them saved unless you teach them the what? The gospel. How to be saved. Just while we're on it, again, when a child comes up to you and doesn't understand how to get saved or how to pray, I was listening to a radio program the other day about a guy, and he said that he went to church and he had told the preacher, said, if you preach tonight, I'll kill you, right in the pulpit. And so that big old guy walked in the back of the church, and when he flung the door open, everybody turned, and he could, whoosh, everybody was, and he sat down. They sung the songs, and it come time for the preacher to preach, and you know what the preacher did? He preached. And that old bully was going to kill the preacher at the end of his sermon, and he said at the end of his sermon, when they said to open the invitation, the altar call, everybody stood up and looked really tense in the room, and that big old guy got up and walked out. Went home and flung the door open, and his kids shuddered and ran under the bed, and everybody, because daddy only came home at night one way, drunk and mean. They ran and hid. He told his wife, woman, we need to pray. Get the kids, let's pray. And she didn't know what was going on, but she said, hey, well, why not? So they got down on their knees. But you know what? He didn't know how to pray. He didn't know how to pray. Guys, you want to know how to talk to God? Talk to God. Just talk to God. That's prayer. Well, I don't want to say it out loud. Well, talk to Him from your heart. That's how we pray. And if you don't know how to pray, learn how to pray. Jesus taught His people how to pray. Somebody comes to you and says, well, I want to get saved, but I don't know how to. Teach them how. Don't say, well, they're not ready yet. Had a parent text me this week and says, you know, son is young. I think he's 5 or 6. And he says he believes in God. He believes in God, believes in God. Is he old enough? Yeah, he's old enough. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll be glad to talk to him and make sure he understands. Because I know, you know, concepts of God are very broad. But children can believe. We have to teach them. Teach them how to pray. Lead them along the way. Lead them in everything else. You wouldn't tell them to go fix the plumbing unless you taught them how to do it. Not unless you want a flood in your house. You wouldn't let them work on the electricity unless you teach them how to do it. But let me tell you something. Eternity is more important than electricity. But if you can't be a leader in your home because you're ashamed, I'm sorry for you. I am not ashamed. I'm not, look, my family knows I'm not perfect. I was waiting. I'm not perfect, but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. This is how people get saved, is through the gospel. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do we live? By faith. Some would challenge our faith. Some would challenge the Bible. And I'm not shocked that the world questions Christianity when they write new Bibles all the time. It just is shocking to me that a Christian school with the heritage and the legacy of one here in town would tell the students not to use a King James Bible, that they require them to use one of these new versions. And I grew up, by the way, this is not new. When I was in Christian school as a teenager, they all wanted to use the NIV. And yet, of course, we had Bible class, had to memorize verses. And I said, I won't memorize the NIV. At 14, 15, 16 years old, I took a stand. Well, you're going to memorize it in the King James? I will. I'll bring you my Bible so you can look at it to make sure I'm memorizing it right. I don't know why anybody would... Well, all right, move on. Memorize the Scripture. There's one by... I'm not surprised the world questions us when we're so confounded on what the Bible says. Well, how do you know your denomination is true? Well, number one, I'm not a denomination. We're an independent church. We're Baptist. Baptist is not a denomination. We don't have a headquarters somewhere telling us what to do, except the main headquarters. We're independent. And so we're not a denomination. But I'll tell you, if the Baptists decide that they're going to do everything the Bible is against, we might take the name Baptist off the sign if it goes that way. We're going to preach the Bible. This is what I believe. This is my doctrinal statement. This is the things that I believe that we hold true. The Bible. I'm not ashamed of that. The just shall live by faith. We should be living according to the Word of God. If Christians live according to the Word of God, we'll be an example and a light for the world. And that's the plan. But when we live like the devil, it's no wonder people don't get saved. When we live like the devil, it's no wonder people don't want to go to church. When you leave church, do you criticize the pastor? Right? I mean, is that what we do? We criticize the preacher, or criticize the choir leader? We criticize the teachers? We criticize... What do? We leave church and say, boy, that was great. Boy, that was wonderful. Man, I love that. When you get home, do you get the Bible out and look at it again and say, boy, I like that. Do you tell your friends, oh, church was great? How was church? Well, it was all right. Same old, preacher got in there and preached. At least I didn't tell any jokes. But you know what it says in verse 8? It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. God has revealed Himself. Right? The heavens declare His handiwork. You look at the sunrise or the sunset, the moon and the stars and the mountains and the valleys and the flowers and the beaches. You think about bugs and how small and intricate and yet functional. And you look at animals and you look at people and how God made us unique, and yet He made us wonderful. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. How everything just works. Look, I know, guys, there reaches a point where things don't work anymore, and I hear what you say. But just think of the beauty and the wonder that God gave us hearing. Don't take it for granted, because you might not have it one day. And eyesight, not just sight but color, and not just color but depth. Wow. Isn't that incredible? And taste. smell. Wow. Incredible. God is so, He's just given us so many blessings. The ability to appreciate the beauty of what God's made. And yet some hold the truth, but they haven't repented. They know the way, but they haven't gone the way. They've heard of His grace, but they have not accepted His Savior. And the Bible says the wrath of God is against them, is revealed against them. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Look, that's an incredible statement. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. The Bible says that God said, let us make man in our image. In His image He created them. And God is, look, I can understand that they didn't understand that before, but we ought to understand it now that God sent Jesus in the flesh. God is the head. And then He has the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, just like we are. Mind, body, and soul. We are all made up of those three elements. And so just by looking at other people and considering ourselves, that which may be known of God is manifest in us. Jesus says, how many of you, which of you, if your son asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for bread, would you give him a stone? He says, of course not. He says, now if you, having the capacity for evil, know how to do good, how much does Heavenly Father do good for you? And God is so good to us. And yet people who live in backwoods, third world countries, walk to church in a hut and sit on the dirt, sometimes in 12 inches of water because of flood, and yet they're still there on Sunday morning, eager to hear the Word of God, eager to praise God. And here we are in this beautiful auditorium with comfortable padded pews, air conditioning. I've even got a fan running up here. Lights, sound system. We've got everything. People are sitting at home right now, able to watch online. Why do we take it for granted? God's so good to us. And that which may be known of God is manifest in us. If you don't believe in God, just take a moment today to think about the intricacy of what God did when He made you. Your toes for balance. Take it for granted till you're missing one, don't you? Your hands. All of it. Wow. God did that. But God showed it. Look, God has given us all the evidence we need. He's written His story in the stars. All the evidence we need, God has provided. The invisible things, verse 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I love that. The invisible things are clearly seen. Wow. Being understood by things that are made. In other words, there were things that God put into motion when He said, let there be light, that are just now coming about. Just now coming about. Even His eternal power and Godhead. Look at that last phrase. So that they are without excuse. What about those tribes in the backwoods of the Congo? Hey, how about you? Don't talk to me about dark tribes. Talk to me about your dark heart. We can have a conversation about why they don't believe, but first let's find out why you don't believe. First let's deal with you, or even if you do believe, why you're challenged in that, why you're ashamed of that. I won't be ashamed of it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Verse 21, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. You see, God does this. God comes to us. It's a visitation. It's an invitation. God individually has come to you at some point in your life. I don't mean the way He came to Paul. I don't mean the way He came to Samuel. I don't mean the physical Jesus standing face to face with you. But by His Holy Spirit, He has convinced you in your heart that God is real, that Jesus is the only way, that He is the Savior. And you had an opportunity to pray and receive Christ. He's given you that opportunity. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, God has brought to us this ability to believe. God has given us the ability to believe. He's presented us with the information that we should accept. He's given us the Savior that we should accept as our own Savior, and so that we are without excuse. Look at what he says here. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. So when God presented himself, you rejected him. Went in another direction. And you brought up this question, what if? What if God is not real? What if God is not the only God? What if Jesus is not the only way? The imagination. They were vain in their imagination. Let me tell you this, God came, presented himself to you, he offered himself to you, and if you go to hell, it'll be because you chose that. And if your family goes to hell, and you look, God's presented himself to them too, but God's presented himself to you, and what I'm saying is, be a leader. Be a leader. I think of 9/11 and when the planes hit the towers, and there were some people who stepped up and they said, follow me. USS Indianapolis, I was watching a documentary on that this week, and they were talking about how when it was torpedoed or crashed, and it began to list to one side, and everybody just stood there looking. And the one guy says, everybody go over. It's going to go. Jump over the side. He said, nobody went. They all just stunned, looking at the water and looking at the ship as it was beginning to sink. And then he said these two words, follow me. And then he went, and he said 500 people went in with him. Somebody had to say, I know the way, follow me. Guys, we're the ones, we know the way. We've got to lead. I don't want to stand before God one day and him say to me, your kids went to hell and it's your fault. Your spouse went to hell and it's your fault. Your neighbor went to hell and you never tried. Your co-workers, this guy that worked with you every day and talked to you every day, and you talked about everything in the world, and you never told them how to get to heaven. Worse than that would be to stand before God as a pastor and say they came and they sat down and they wanted to know how, and you wouldn't tell them. You talked about social problems and political issues and it matters, but you never, never showed them that Jesus was the way. I'm not ashamed. He said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Guys, I get it. We live in a very inclusive society. We don't want to be bigots and prejudiced, and we don't want to turn anybody away. But you know, the problem is that in our desire to be inclusive and enlightened, we diminish the Word of God. You say, well, this is the way I follow. No, I'm telling you, if you don't follow me, you'll be going in, you won't get in. If you don't go with Jesus, if you don't go the way I'm going, is by the grace of God. Look, let me break it down for you. I prayed and I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. If you don't pray a prayer like that, you're not getting in. It doesn't have to be the exact same prayer, but you have to acknowledge your sin. You have to believe in Jesus, and you have to confess Him as your Savior. That's how you get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get in any other way. You can be sincere in your faith, but if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, the sincerity of whatever faith it is not going to get you to heaven. I want to be inclusive, and I want to be enlightened. I want to embrace everybody and accept everybody. But I'm telling you, there are some things that are wrong, and the Bible lays them out. By the way, he lays them out here in a couple of verses. And just because the world has embraced them and accepted them doesn't mean the church should, because it definitely means that God hasn't. I'd rather be saved than enlightened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let me tell you how they identify counterfeit money. Y'all know? Some of y'all worked in banks, you know. You know how they identify counterfeit money? By showing you what real money looks like. This is what real money looks like. And they show you a bunch of real money. You ever counting money? And you, I know some of y'all just got a lot of money to count. But anyway, you're just counting your money. And all of a sudden you come across one. You say, that doesn't look right. That, something's wrong with that one. What do? You put it up at the light and you make sure it's got that little strip in it. Make sure it's got that, what is it? Watermark in it. All you got, you look at it, oh yeah, all right, yeah, it's there. Well, how do you know that's what's right? Because you've seen the good stuff before. I'm not going to study false religions to find out what the real religion is. I'm going to study God. I'm going to study the Bible. Amen. They knew God. They glorified and not as God. Neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, oh, well, you know, there's another way. No, there's not another way. They became fools. Biggest problem is that we got to the point where we worship the creature more than the Creator. Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshiped and served the creature and the Creator. And you know what God did? God says, well, I mean, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to drag you to heaven. I'm not going to make you go to heaven. He gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 26. Even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, that which seems is unseemly, and receiving that recompense of their error which was meet. You know what he did? He says, all right, I'm done. You don't want to go with me? I'll quit bothering you. I won't send the Holy Ghost to convict you anymore, to draw you anymore. You want to go that way? I'm done. And you know what happens when we don't have God? When we don't have the fulfillment of our purpose and that God has designed us for, we start looking for answers. We start looking for gratification. We start looking for purpose. We start looking for satisfaction. They begin to burn in lust and experiences one with another. And God withdrew. You say, well, I'm living this life and I don't feel conviction. I don't feel guilty. Yeah, because God said, I'm done. God said, you don't want to go with me? I'm done. I won't bother you anymore. People say, well, you can't be living in sin and be happy. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You reject God and God says, okay, you don't want to deal with me, I won't deal with you. And so you can be just as happy in sin and fulfilling the lust of the flesh and just living it up and overflowing with wickedness and you don't feel guilty at all. You know why? Because God said, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Is that what it says? He gave them up to vile affection. Look at what he says in verse 28. And they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They had God. Remember, he revealed himself. He gave them an opportunity to be saved. They rejected it, so they did not retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind so that they do not believe the truth to do those things which are not convenient. You don't have to believe. You can go to hell if you want to. But I'm telling you this, you're taking other people with you, and that's tragic. And for those who are going to heaven, which I would say is probably everybody in this room because you've trusted Christ, by yourself. Take some others with you. Now look, I don't mean at that moment. I'm not talking about Samson tearing down the building, right? what somebody put this morning. I saw a post that said, you know what's so wonderful about Coach Bowden is the tens of thousands of people that he's not only witnessed to, but many of them he's led to Christ. Did he have a bigger opportunity than you do? Than I do? Or was he just willing to do it? A whole bunch of things here that when people criticize Christianity in the church, I look at these things in verse 29 through 31, and I think, you know, if the world didn't have those things in it, wouldn't we be better off? These are things that God criticizes. God says you shouldn't do these things. But he says, when I took my hands off and turned them over to a reprobate mind, turned them over to vile affections, and said, just do whatever you want because I'm done. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm not sending another preacher to you. Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that? Out in the middle of the desert reading the Bible. Couldn't understand it. And God sent a deacon. And said, go tell this man what the Bible says. He got there and says, you understand? He said, how can I understand it? I need somebody to show me. And he showed him. And guess what happened? He got saved. And he said, I want to get baptized too. So he got baptized too. But what if that man didn't want God? You think God would have sent a missionary or a deacon out there to him? God sent us to people trying to reach them with the gospel. But I'll tell you something. People turn God away enough and I'm not sending anybody else. I'm done. What is it that we're trying to rid the world of? Verse 29, right? Unrighteousness, fornication, sexual sin, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What's he saying? He's saying, here are people I don't want to deal with, you don't want to deal with, but that's what happens when we take God out of society. Well, we can't have God in the schools. Why not? He'll make the school better. Well, we can't have God in the courthouse. Why not? He's the order of God. He's the order of law. Unfortunately, we've reached a point where we can't have God in the church. I tell you, it's tragic when we reach the point where people are ashamed of the truth of God in the church. We better latch on and fasten our faith because the trials against our faith are going to continue. And they're going to get stronger. And the cries against our faith are going to get louder. And so we have to choose. You don't have to fight. But I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. What about you this morning? Do you believe? Do you know how to get to heaven? Have you prayed and said, God, I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I want to live for you, God. Have you made that decision? Have you prayed that prayer? Would you stand this morning? So we have a time of invitation. You're invited to come and kneel at the altar. I'll be glad to pray with you. But you pray where you are, from your heart to God's heart, whatever is on your heart this morning. Maybe you've come with a different need. God is listening. God is listening. Thank you. Is there anything else we're dismissed? Everybody happy? Y'all need to go home and take a nap. I love you, but you're sleepy. That's good, Lord. Dismiss the prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?